That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and waves broke out over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The reading of God's word. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share a portion of God's word with you this morning. Thank you for coming and joining us together in worship. Sometimes feel at the end of our time of praise and worship that I don't need to get up and do a sermon. The songs and the words of the hymns were so perfect with what I think the scripture is intending to teach us, and was certainly the theme of my message, that I don't need to preach, but I guess I will. It's easy to see from the reading of this portion of God's word that this is a lesson about fear and a lesson about faith. And let me ask you to think for a minute about what causes fear in your life then. What are the things that make you afraid? What are the things that cause you stress and tension and uncertainty about what life has to offer? Thinking about my own life, my anxieties and tensions are about getting old. Not so much afraid of dying, but it's the process in between, I guess, that sort of makes me feel frightened. Getting older, getting more feeble, not being quite as sharp mentally as I used to be, and not as strong physically as I was, I worry and get a little bit distressed about what life holds. How will I be able to pursue my hobbies, which give life meaning and purpose, and how will I be able to maintain a sense of independence and not be totally dependent on other people for everything that's a part of what I'm experiencing then? As a result of anxieties and fears, at least for me, I have sleepless nights and have sometimes a difficulty focusing and staying concentrated. On our scripture this morning, Mark reports on an incident in the life of Jesus where he and a group of fishermen experience a huge storm while trying to cross the lake, and it causes them to be afraid. Many of us, men especially, were taught that fear is a form of weakness. We were told as men, especially before the women's liberation movement, before the emphasis on women having careers, that we were responsible for the welfare of our family then. We had to go out courageously facing the fears of the occupation, facing the fears of the career world, the work world, and had to not be courageous because there were people at home waiting for us to bring home that paycheck, and were depending on us to not be afraid and not let fear get in the way of. Unfortunately, despite our best intentions, fear becomes reality. In the work environment, a turn in the economy, we can lose our job. In the work environment, a health crisis, or the unrealistic expectations of an employer can result in the loss of job, and that fear comes in, how will I survive? How will I continue? How will my family be able to maintain their well-being? And it's not just in the job and employment world that we see fears around us, but in every phase of life, it seems as though there is fear. There are things that we anticipate and things that cause us to be afraid and think, how am I going to survive that particular thing? And if that would happen or when that happens, how will I ever be able to manage my life then? We live in a world beset by powers of chaos that are about to destroy us. As the poet E.E. Cummings said, King Christ, this world is all a leak, and life preservers, there are none. Doesn't take too much to remind us that that's the way things are in this world, aren't they? There's fear all around us. There's suffering and struggles and difficulties that we have to face on a daily basis, and we have to learn how to cope with and how to get through those kinds of experiences then. In this passage from the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus teaching his disciples through an experience of fear, that fear need not control us. Difficulties and suffering and hardships need not be as devastating as they sometimes can be, and we can look forward with confidence to God's presence with us, even in the midst of our fears then. These were experienced fishermen. These men that were in the boat with Jesus knew that lake. They knew that it was the kind of place where storms could come up suddenly and went unexpectedly, and often these storms were quite violent. So the fact that, as Mark explains it, that this storm caused them fear means it was a pretty horrendous storm then. Probably something equivalent to our hurricanes or tornadoes then. Extreme winds, high waves, great danger, and the disciples panic. They're afraid. In that culture, it was a part of cultural thinking that the sea and the lake were a place where God and evil meet in giant cosmic struggles. Perhaps this is in the mind of the disciples as well, as they experience this great storm. This is God and the devil coming together in great chaos, and it looks to me like the devil's winning, because that storm is not quitting. It's keeping on. It's still maintaining its ferocity. Their fearful reaction implies that God has forgotten about them, or isn't strong enough to control this situation. Our fears can result in the same loss of life, loss of faith. It's easy to think when struggles come our way and fears we encounter fears that God's forgotten about me. If he hadn't forgotten about me, I wouldn't be experiencing this fearful event. It's easy to feel like God doesn't care. God doesn't know my situation. God isn't able to take care of me in this frightening and overwhelming experience that I'm facing. Because the disciples are afraid, their natural reaction is to get empathy. Then, wait a minute, why am I going through this all alone? Isn't it easier when struggles come our way, when we have struggles and difficulty, and we want somebody to experience that with us then? We're not necessarily always looking for results or for a way out, but we'd like somebody at least to appreciate what we're going through, and knowing that we're there. So the disciples come to Jesus, and they wake him up. And isn't that interesting? That in the midst of this violent storm, this huge event that's about to take the disciples' lives as far as they're concerned, Jesus is sound asleep, resting comfortably in the bow of the boat in spite of all this great storm. When the disciples are seeking empathy, Jesus offers them deliverance. Jesus offers them a solution to their fears, a way around it. Instead of just empathizing, saying, yeah, I understand. Yeah, pretty tough situation, isn't it? Boy, this is difficult. Instead, he says, there's a solution. Why was Jesus asleep? How could he sleep through such a violent storm, through such a fearful experience? And, well, part of it is because he was physically tired. Let's not underestimate the fact that Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, still physically got tired. It's been a long day for Jesus, so he's tired. But I wonder if Jesus is also remembering the promises of Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Jesus is able to trust the God who saves. Jesus is able to trust the one who will be there with him in spite of these struggles and difficulties. The promise of God is that I will make sure that you get through this struggle and this difficulty then. Jesus also uses this experience as a teaching moment for the disciples. One would think if Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was divine, he would have known that there was going to be a storm coming, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he have anticipated this and said, well, maybe we better wait till tomorrow morning and go then, or maybe we'll let the storm pass first and then we'll go. You know, there's a huge storm about to come. The weathermen are predicting this vast tornado that's about to come across. We better wait. Even if Jesus did know that, his principle, his point, his emphasis is on we can learn through this experience then. We can grow in our faith. We can become more like what God wants us to be as a result of this experience. So Jesus doesn't prevent them from experiencing this difficult struggle. He doesn't help them avoid the situation, but instead he says, I think we can learn through this. We can encounter something good. Jesus uses this opportunity to show the disciples a powerful demonstration of his divine power. Even things like monstrous winds and storms are under his control. So why be afraid? Jesus, the divine Son of God, is with them in the boat in the midst of this crisis. So why despair? This is the message that Jesus portrays through his own personal example and the message that he intends to give to his disciples then. So Jesus rebukes his disciples and says, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? Don't you have any faith at all? Jesus was no doubt reminding them of the truths of like Psalm 121, which we read this morning as our call to worship, where our promise is that God is going to be there helping us, being with us in the storm. We can look around and see that it looks as though there's all chaos surrounding us, but not true, because God is there with us. They need not feel as though God has abandoned them or forgotten them, or this incident is beyond his control for their lives. Jesus uses this experience then to teach them that they need not be afraid, that they can trust in the one who will save them and see them through this difficult crisis. And this can be because they recognize who Jesus is. Jesus uses this storm to move them in a new kind of faith experience, to move them from their little faith to a greater faith, to move them from fear to faith and trust. His action, calming the storm, moves them from an unwholesome fear to a different kind of fear. Then they were afraid of their physical safety, but Jesus says, you don't need to be. And as a result of that assurance, they come to understand Jesus in a bigger sort of way. And they fear him, Mark says. They're afraid, not for their lives this time, but they're afraid because they were in a holy experience then. It reminds me of Moses when he encountered God in the burning bush. And God says to him, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. What's happened here is this becomes a holy place. It becomes a sacred moment for them as they see that Jesus is more than just a great healer, more than just a great teacher, but he is the divine Son of God. And as a result, he can rescue them. A few weeks ago, sitting in worship here at New Hope, I suddenly realized I was just kind of going through the motions of worship. I was singing the songs, but they didn't mean anything to me. They were just words. I listened to the sermon, and the sermon didn't really grab me, didn't strike my heart in any sort of way then. I don't think it was the fault of the worship service. It wasn't the fault of Pastor Tony for not preaching a good sermon, but my heart wasn't there. And I realized afterward, I don't know how long it took, or maybe when I was already starting to think about the sermon for this morning, that I realized if I could see Jesus in this mighty and powerful and awesome way that the disciples saw after he calmed the storm, it would lead me to a deeper and greater sense of worship. Then, if I knew that this is who was present with us when we come into worship, I would have been more motivated and more inspired to say, this is an awesome experience. This is an awesome place. This is holy ground. This is a place where I can find peace and fulfillment in my life because it's Jesus, the divine Son of God, is present here with us in the midst of our situation then. As Ray Vanderlyn says, God doesn't always make the mountain paths smoother, but sometimes he gives us feet to negotiate the rough paths. Mark has the disciples ask this question, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Not a question they need to answer immediately. But as they continue to observe and spend time with Jesus, they will come to realize that Jesus' actions here are intended to recall Old Testament passages, which assure us that God is present even in the midst of storms, that God is stronger than the waves, God is mightier and more powerful than the wind, and we can trust in him to deliver us, or at least be with us in the difficult times that come our lives. The subduing, says David Garland, the subduing of the sea and wind was not merely a demonstration of power. It was an epiphany to which Jesus is unveiled to his disciples as the Savior in the midst of intense peril. What an important lesson for us in our lives as well. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus that we worship. This is the Jesus that's who's present with us every day. When we know the Jesus who has the power to calm the winds and see him as the incarnate God of the universe, we too can find peace and calm in our lives. When Jesus says to the storm, to the winds, he says, be still, to the sea, he says, be calm. He's speaking also to our lives and saying, we can find this sense of peace, we can find this calmness, we can find this stillness in our lives, even in the midst of fear, even in the midst of struggle and difficulty then. The problem with fear, the problem with anxiety is it robs us of this abundant life that Jesus has in store for us. It robs us of the peace and the calm that we are enabled to have because we belong to Jesus then. But when we let fears get in our way and prevent us from seeing the Jesus who can calm the storm, we lose out on this abundant life that Jesus has in store for us. It's a fact of life that those most open to receive Jesus' power in their lives are those who recognize their own desperate need of it. The disciples came to the point because of this storm that they recognized their need for Jesus then. And as a result, they were led to greater and deeper faith then. Mark helps us to learn to trust in a Savior who does not always deliver us from, but through the storms. We can trust in Jesus to deliver us, but also to teach us more about who he is. So when fears come our way, don't panic. No need to be afraid when difficult times face us. When I think about getting old, I don't need to be afraid of that. Jesus will be there. He'll see me through it. He'll enable me to face the difficulties and storms of my life each day. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks that you are the Almighty God. You are strong to save. You are faithful to watch over us even when fears and struggles and difficulties come our way. We pray that you would show us yourself this morning. Show us your glory, your greatness, and your power that can be used to calm the storms of our lives. Thank you for your wonderful work in our lives and your continued presence with us throughout every experience of our lives, even the storms. In Jesus' name we pray.